Okay, greetings. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch, brought to you by the Exegetical Department at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. My name is Paul Robbie. I'll lead you through the Old Testament lesson appointed for All Saints Day, which is observed. The All Saints Day is November 1st, but it's observed on November 5th this year. And the Old Testament lesson is selected verses from Isaiah chapter 26. They kind of give you selected verses from the whole chapter, really. So as we go through it, think about All Saints Day. And it's matched with Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, and my colleague Jeff Gibbs will lead us through that. Isaiah 26, verse 1, by Yom Ha'u, in that day, this eschatological day that these chapters have been announcing, Yushar Hashir Hazeth, this song will be sung, Ba'eretz Yehuda, in the land of Judah. Isaiah foresees the future day of restoration. And typically Isaiah projects onto the screen of the future all of the components that have to do with the restoration, even though from our vantage point some components happen earlier, some components happen later. They're all part of the same picture. So this day of restoration, which begins with the return of the exiles to the land of Judah, the defeat of the city of Babylon, and the return of the exiles back to Jerusalem, and certainly it includes the Messianic age, the age of the Messiah, and certainly then, as we'll see, it also includes the parousia and the bodily resurrection of the dead on the last day. Isaiah likes to do this. He likes to give a song of the redeemed that the redeemed will sing in advance. So he teaches them this song already now. It's a song that they'll sing in triumph on that future day of triumph. But I think he would say that he hopes they'll sing it now as well in anticipation. So Isaiah kind of writes the hymnal for the future heavenly choir. Ir az lanu, a city of a strong one, lanu, for us. Or you could take az as more abstract, a city of strength for us. Yeshua Yashith, he will make salvation, Komoth, walls, Vachel, and ramparts. Who's the he? Probably Yahweh, just as he's the he here at 25 verse 12. So Yahweh is going to create a new Jerusalem that will have salvation as its walls and rampart. It's not just going to be bricks and mortar. Those kind of cities can be destroyed. Those kind of cities can be leveled, as will be the case by the Babylonians in 587 BC. But this future eschatological city is going to have salvation as its walls and rampart. Verse 2, the city of God. Verse 2, Pithku, open, y'all open, Sha'arim, gates, open up, O gates, so personifying the gates, a lot like lift up your heads, O ye gates, Vayavo, goy, tzaddik, probably a purpose clause, so that a righteous nation may enter. Shomer, a nation, Shomer, that keeps Emunim, that's abstract plural, who keeps faithfulness, who keeps steadfastness, faithfulness in Yahweh. So this city is going to be for a righteous nation, for a righteous people. We would say justified, those who are justified. Verse 3, Yetzer Samuk. Yetzer comes from the verb Yatzar, to form. Yetzer refers to the mind, the thoughts, the contemplations, the imaginations that your mind forms, things that you are that are formed. So here a purpose, samuk, that's the call passive participle of samak, upheld. So a upheld mind, an upheld intention, upheld purpose, and that's the direct object. He puts it forward for emphasis. Titzor is the verb. It's you, masculine, singular, from the root natsar, the nun got assimilated. You will keep, you will guard. And upheld, a steadfast, in other words, steadfastly upheld mind or intention, you will keep shalom, shalom. Kind of a very concise type of expression. In English, we have to try to put the words together more to make more to make smoother syntax. So, an upheld mind you keep in peace, peace. You keep peacefully peaceful. Why? Talking to God. Why? Because in you, Batuach, it has been entrusted. That's a call passive participle. Yetzer is probably the antecedent. This mind has been entrusted in you, O Yahweh. Verse 4. Now the prophet exhorts the people, Bitku with an imperative, trust in Yahweh, Adei Ad. Ad means forever, so this is forever and ever. Key 4, B'yah, in Yah, Yahweh. In Yah, Yahweh. You find this on occasion in the book of Isaiah. Yah is the abbreviation, and then Yahweh follows it. In Yah, Yahweh is Sur Olamim, Rock of Ages. Here's our phrase, the Rock of Ages. I remember that great line during the Scopes trial when William Jennings Bryan said, I'm not interested in the age of rocks, I'm interested in the Rock of Ages. Good line, but that wasn't the point that needed to be made precisely at that trial, and that's one of the reasons why he lost, because the debate was about science. But here's the Sur Olamim, Rock of Forever. Then it tells why they're going to rejoice in this day, because Yahweh will have brought low the city of chaos. And in this part of Isaiah, this city of chaos is this oppressive city. Oppressive, kind of a representative of all oppressive human governments. And God will bring down those oppressive governments in order to save His people. One instance of that would be the downfall of Babylon, so that the exiles could return. But I don't think it's restricted to Babylon. It's kind of intentionally left unspecified. But the lectionary system wants us to skip the following verses. So skip over the city part. And go to verse 8. Just to see the context, though, it's verse 5, God brings down the lofty city. And verse 7, the path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. And then we go to verse 8. Moreover, this is kind of a casus pendens. It's a noun phrase that's put out forward for emphasis. With respect to the Orach Mishpateka, the path of your judgments, O Yahweh. And now here's the main clause. Kivinuka. Kivinuka. We have waited for you. We have hoped in you. This is the P.A.L. of Kava, a common verb that means to hope, to wait. We have waited for you, O Yahweh, on the path of your judgments, or for the path of your judgments, for your name and for your memorial is the desire of the soul. That's true of God's righteous people. And then verse 9, here it's specified, my soul, with my soul, Kivithika, this is from Aleph Wal Hey, and in the P.E.L. it means to desire. I have desired you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Indeed, Ruhi Bakirbi, with my spirit, in my midst, I, Shakar, this is the P.E.L., I seek you early in the morning. Shakar, to seek in the morning. So in the night, I desire you, I seek you in the morning, and this is not just an external type of thing, but it's with my soul, with my spirit, in my midst, all of my being. Going on, verse 9, for, kasher, usually it introduces a comparative clause. Some people think it means temporal here. When your judgments are on the earth, then the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. And then it goes on to say in verse 10 and following, but when your judgments are not happening, then the wicked do not learn righteousness. Instead, they do not see the majesty of the Lord. So then it goes on with a prayer that God would reveal His majesty, reveal His zeal for His people, and consume God's adversaries. I don't think we should necessarily leave that section out. The pericope system wants to focus on the saints, but there are also the oppressors, the enemies, who try to hold down the saints. And they have to be defeated in order for the saints to be victorious. So there does have to be a defeat there. Verse 12, going on then, they want us to jump to verse 12. O Yahweh, this is from the verb shafat, you ordain, you establish peace for us, for even all our deeds you have done for us. Verse 13, O Yahweh our God, Adonim, lords, Zulatheka, other than you, have Baaled us, have ruled over us, have lorded over us, have been Baals over us. To you, in you alone, Levad Baka, in you alone, Nazkir, that's a Hiphil of Zakar, we bring to remembrance your name. So we call to remembrance your name in you alone. Then verse 14 says that the dead, talking about the wicked dead, will not live. The shades will not arise. These would be the wicked dead. They will not have the fullness of life that is fellowship with Yahweh. It's not denying the general resurrection, but it's denying that they receive the life that comes with the resurrection, so they don't live. And we skip down to verse 19. The system wants us to focus on the saints, but you do need to realize the contrast with verse 14. The wicked do not rise to life, verse 19, but the righteous do. Those who belong to Yahweh do. So verse 19, Yikyu Metheka, your dead will live. Nevelathi, my corpse. So Isaiah includes himself in this group. Your dead, my corpse, will live. They will arise. So it's not just a future generation, but it's also including me, the prophet. We will live, they will arise. And then he addresses all the dead. Go to the cemetery, and make this proclamation. Hakitsu, awake, v'rananu, and rejoice, sing, O dwellers of the dust. Right now they're dwelling in the dust, but call them to awake and rejoice in anticipation of the future bodily resurrection. Because your due, Yahweh's due, is the due of lights. God's due is the due of lights that gives light. It's kind of a mixed metaphor there. Due awakens and refreshes and gives life. Va'aretz, and the earth, tapil, that's a hiphil of Naphal, will cause to fall, will let fall, Rephaim, the shades. The Rephaim are spirits, the souls in the grave. The earth will let them fall. There's some discussion on what exactly does this mean. Some people think it's a birthing metaphor, that the earth will give birth to the dead and they'll awake on the last day, cause to fall in the sense of fall out of the womb. Another possibility that's probably more likely is that the earth is the devourer that seizes its prey. The underworld, death, has these maws, that these insatiable maws that that devour the living. And on that day, this devourer will drop the dead. They'll drop them out of their mouth. In other words, they'll be able to live. So the earth will let fall the shades. Okay, a wonderful promise here in Isaiah of the bodily resurrection. It's a general bodily resurrection of all God's righteous people. Bodily resurrection unto eternal life. That included Isaiah himself. And Jesus experiences this resurrection in anticipation as the first fruits and the guarantee that on that last day, we, together with all the saints, will bodily rise unto eternal life. So on All Saints Day, we don't just think of their souls, we also think of their bodies rising from the dead. Verse 20, go, my people, enter into your chambers and lock your doors or close your doors behind you. So he's calling on the people. This is a replay of the Passover. Stay safe in your rooms as the angel of death passes over. Hide for a little while until indignation passes over. So God is about to exercise his wrath against the wicked. And meanwhile, the righteous are to persevere in the middle of this. Verse 21, for behold, Yahweh is going forth, is sallying forth, is marching forth from his place in order to visit the iniquity of the inhabitant of the earth upon him. The inhabitant of the earth would be the wicked. Revelation talks this way as well. Those who dwell on the earth, reference to the wicked. So God will visit their iniquity upon them, and the earth will reveal, a peel of Galah will reveal her bloods, her bloodsheds, all the instances of bloodshed, and she will not cover, a peel of Kasa, again over her slain ones. That's a call passive participle, harag. so right now they're slain. The oppressive world city and the oppressive world governments have slain the people of God. They're in the ground. But on that day, the earth will no longer cover the slain righteous. They will rise from the dead, and everything will be brought to full exposure and a full view. No more secrets. No more secret crimes. Actually, we should go to 27 verse 1. Yahweh will punish the serpent. So he even punishes Leviathan itself, Satan himself, this dragon, on that eschatological day of victory. Well, that's the text, and its application to All Saints Day is pretty obvious. It's a promise of the saints who trust in the Lord now and who now dwell in this sure and certain city that God has built, God's city, and have the promise of eternal life on the last day and the bodily resurrection. Thank you very much. We'll go to Matthew chapter 5.